Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I'm Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss, Matt Doyle, Tommy Scoops, Tom Bogert. It's almost here, boys, and it's a little strange. Important caveat, excuse, context, whatever this is. We recorded this on Tuesday, so I guess technically as of this hitting people's ears, there are 2 days until MLS is back. So we say something wrong or that's not factual or just straight up incorrect and stupid, I blame the time difference.
Yeah, Doyle. I'm sure people are going to rely on that for us.
Yes. What could we do? What could we possibly do? No matter what, still jacked up about the season being back. It's that time of year. Everybody has hope. Doyle, what's the best thing about MLS being back in your mind?
I have my weekends booked until December. Boom. Done.
Doyle hates free time on weekends. Yeah. What a real...
Oh, my God. You could go see the cherry blossoms in D.C. or I don't know. You could go apple picking in the fall. But no, we will be either in the stadium or in our homes or in the studio watching Major League Soccer. I truly do think the best time this year is that everyone has hope. And we see that reflected, by the way, in our download numbers. There is not a more bumper crop time of year for listeners who truly believe that, yes, this year could be different than February before the season starts. So thank you for being with us, whether you've been here a long time, whether you're a new listener, whether you found us on Apple TV, or you're just jacked up, we're back on YouTube. Yes, yeah, you took a deep breath there, Doyle. I thought you were going to add something.
No, I was going to make a whether you're listening just to get the predictions so that you can laminate them and use them as motivation later on in the season, whether you're that type of listener as well, because we know there's at least one of them, probably closer to 29, though.
Yeah, probably more.
So
like,
who's been everyone's reaction clubs? Now that our predictions are
at you?
Who's been
at Orlando, Dave? They're
no, I've been to Orlando. I already know that.
Montreal. Oh, my God, Montreal.
Where did you put them?
I think 12th or something.
Ooh.
They don't have any top end attacking talent, and they have so many question marks. The last time we saw Hernan Losada, it didn't go very well. So I think that I'm fair for where I left, but there is no room for nuanced discussion. It's that I hate all French Canada and Canadians in general. That is the vibe that I've gotten, and that I'm lazy and all that stuff. That,
you heard
that Montreal
it.
Always
right there. Cut Montreal that. Montreal always hates all of French Canada and he's lazy. Just do your.
I mean, that's the clip.
Your best there. Yeah,
that's
there
the clip.
Good stuff. You shouldn't say that out loud. AI, come on now.
That Montreal always outperforms their predictions, which seemed like a pretty flimsy. I wasn't going to go fact check them on it year by year, but I'm just saying that seems pretty flimsy. And you can probably cherry pick whoever that put them worst, and then they, you know, whatever. I digress.
Doyle, I'm worried about this with Weeby because Weeby's going to create a straw man. We already know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Doyle, who's yours?
Yeah, nobody's really gotten after me that.
Whoa.
Because he stopped reading his mentions. Is that why?
I mean, I do have like over 4,000 accounts muted on Twitter, so that might be part of it. There's like one really steamed Toronto fan, but most Toronto fans are actually kind of down on this team.
Despite, yeah, it feels that
like,
way.
The undeniable talent in the first 11. Not, you know, St. Louis fans are not. I guess they're polite Midwesterners,
yes,
right?
Because that is what's going on right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but that's not the rap that Cardinals fans have.
Cardinals fans have literal a century of entitlement.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a St. Louis City SC jersey, and I'm telling you that, Cardinals fans, know that I love you as MLS fans and don't love you as Major League Baseball fans.
Yeah, Anders is actually going through some stuff right now in the chat because he went to school in Missouri. So he was surrounded by Cardinals fans for 4 years, and I think they kind of broke him. So I'm surprised that St. Louis City fans have not gotten out. I think I picked St. Louis for second to last in the East.
Most people pick them last. Yeah, most people pick them last. I think there were like two of us, myself included, that picked them 14th, and I literally had St. Louis City supporters in my mention saying, thank you, Weeby believes in us more than other people. And I was like, hey, you know what? It's your first go-round. Just take every little morsel that you can get.
That was me with Charlotte last year. Everybody else had them last, and I had them second to last. And I was like, thank you so much for believing in us. And yeah, I was like, too. I wouldn't give myself that much credit there.
Weeby, your numbers are off, though. There are only 14 teams in the West. So if you had them 14th, you had
them. I think I had them 13. I must have had them 13.
There are 15 in the East.
Must have been 13 in the West for me. I think right now it's still Austin fans for me, but I've switched the narrative on them. Instead of being down on them and sort of needling them about bonus games, I've now flipped it to say that they're going to be second in the West. And so if they're good, I take credit for it. And if they're bad, I take credit for last year. So it's just this big, like, self-fulfilling, I don't know, you know, storm of narrative and takes that I'm over here just sort of churning and controlling.
It'll probably be their central midfield depth, right? That's the real question.
It's definitely going to be. Yeah, I was listening to a show the other day, and some guy on that show said that. And I thought, that's a really good point. And I should that's definitely going to be true down the line. Look, everybody has hope. It's the best thing. Week one coming. You know where it's at. MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. I'm going to do the whole thing again in case it hasn't been just absolutely pounded into your brain. If you're an Apple TV Plus subscriber, you like Ted Lasso or any number of the other shows that are on there, it's $12.99 per month. You can do the math, what that equates to over many months, or just $79 a season. That's not very much for every single MLS game, literally anywhere. If you're not an Apple TV Plus subscriber, $99 a season or $14.99 per month. It is all the games, all the competitions, MLS, Leagues Cup, playoffs. We know that playoff structure is out. We've heard a lot of talk about that. But again, we're recording this on Tuesday, so we haven't gotten your mail on that just yet. We'll address that next week, plus all the pre and post coverage, MLS countdown, MLS wrap up, which I'm super happy to be on and doing every single weekend. It should be exhausting, but the most fun I could possibly have. And then MLS 360 just looks sick. Like, the studio is sick, the talent is sick, the concept is sick. Like, it's just going to be a really fun time to tune in, however long you tune in on a Saturday night, and just sort of mainline MLS with those folks. So should be really fun. Speaking of hope, we're wearing jerseys, each of us. I have the away jersey for St. Louis City SC. We've got the new, is that the away kit or the home kit, Tom? Do you know for Union?
I believe it's the away kit, because it would play. I mean, well, the teams are so fluid with what they wear. Wasn't the electric blue kit last year?
They wore it at home all the time. Yeah, every playoff game, because it was sick. And they were like, yeah, we could just do this.
We got the Blossom kit for DC, for Dave, and then La Noche for Doyle, for Miami. In the spirit of hope, I would like each of you to tell me why the team that you're wearing should have hope this season. Doyle, Inter Miami, where's the hope?
The hope is that Joseph rediscovers something close to his best form. And then the hope that you pile on top of that is that Leo Messi might be coming this summer. Like, that's still very much a possibility. And that would be the most, you know, league changing signing since David Beckham.
I don't even want to say this out loud. I guess I'm gonna. Are we building ourselves up? Would Inter Miami fans be building themselves up too much on this Messi thing? Because I feel like in my heart of hearts, if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be like Anders in Missouri around Cardinals.
So I think I would feel that way too, because there's only one Leo Messi, and like, generally speaking, I'm not super into watching MLS teams sign 35-year-olds, but Messi is different. Messi is the greatest soccer player who's ever lived, period. Getting him here for 2 or 3 years would be absolutely incredible. So, yes, my hopes are up. However, difference, Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
I was just going to say the hope is realistic. At a realistic expectation, given everything I've heard and things that have been reported by other people. So it's not unreasonable hope, and it's not getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, like, it's not real. It's not blind hope, right?
Which, like, why would it hurt more?
And that's why it would hurt more. But here's the thing, the landing will be soft, because if MLS is at a phase in its development now, where if Miami misses out on Lionel Messi, they're not going to be completely, they're not going to be out of options. They will turn around and go do what Portland did and spent $12 million on a guy like Evander, a 24-year-old number 10 who's leading Europa League in assists, or they'll go out and find the next Thiago Almada or Santi Rodriguez or Facu Torres, you know, like young South American playmakers of the type that we never got in this league at this point in their development. So if that's plan B, man, then like hope away, go out on a limb, dream big, because you know that if it doesn't come to fruition with Messi, you're still going to get something really a lot of fun to root for over the next few years.
We can just skip Tom, I think, in this. Philly has every reason for hope. But we won't, Tom. We'll be back in a second. But you got the Blossoms on, Dave.
Thank you.
DC United probably needs some hope. Help them have it.
I'm supposed to do a soccer thing, right?
Yeah, it could either way.
Okay, because I was going to say, I mean, it speaks for itself. Like, it's a cold winter, spring. You get to go outside, hang out with people, walk to a beautiful stadium on the water. You're going to host an all-star game, so a bunch of festivities to go on. So there's a lot of hope there. From a soccer point of view.
Mattia Akinboni. Wayne Rooney says that he's probably going to start this weekend. 16-year-old center back from that academy, which has produced a lot of good players, going all the way back to Bill Hamid. Obviously, Kevin Paredes sold for a bunch a couple years ago. Akinboni looks like the next in that line. Not a lot of 16-year-old center backs ever get top flight minutes anywhere. So, I mean, everyone I've talked to says this kid is special. Wayne Rooney thinks obviously the kid is special if he's putting him on the field in this situation. That's a reason for hope, right?
Absolutely. It also means Victor Paulsen doesn't have to play center back. And then you start putting
that's good
pieces
for Victor
hopefully
Paulsen
in the place that they belong. You sign probably 4 to 5 new starters. You signed a new DP. The quality has risen at pretty much every position for DC United. Is it enough to be in the playoffs? I'm not sure. Is it enough to challenge at the top? But I can guarantee it's better than it was last year and probably 2 years ago. So that's reason to have hope alone. And Christian Benteke.
I'm hoping for Christian Benteke. I'm hoping for St. Louis City too. We have jokes about the Cardinals, yes. But every time I've been to St. Louis, and it's a few times now for expansion draft or super draft or otherwise, I mean, they're just jacked up. And as they should be. They have a beautiful stadium downtown. They have this incredible soccer history, heritage, you might say. They have all the ingredients and they have a distinct style. And I like that they're entering understanding, hey, this is what our team is supposed to be. You know, the front office, the GM, the coach are all on the same page. They've all built it together. They've been around for a long time. That is no guarantee whatsoever that all of that is going to result in results on the field. But I have no doubt that game day, that every moment within this season is going to be a reason to celebrate for them just because they're there. You know, having to watch from afar, having to hope for, you know, lower division teams to get the call, for an ownership group to take the reins. And it all happened. And now it's here. And I think no matter what happens for them, knowing that, let's say season one is not so good. Let's say the predictions are right and they're at the bottom of the Western Conference. Doesn't matter. There's a year two. They didn't have a year two before. Let's say things go well. All of a sudden, 9 teams make the playoffs. Why can't they go make an MLS Cup run? You know, this is sort of the hope of possibility. And especially for expansion teams, it only happens once, and expansion seasons only happen once. And I've been to a lot of firsts in MLS around expansion teams, and there's a different energy, a different vibe, a different mindset. And St. Louis City fans, St. Louisians, St. Louisians,
St. You call them losers? What did you just say, Weeby?
I don't know.
Louligans.
I don't know, man. Whatever you call yourselves as a city, like, just enjoy it. Get to that game, go to the bar, watch with other people, join up, be a part of a sport. Like, just soak it all in. It's only going to happen once, and to not experience it, I think you'll really go back and kick yourself. So there's the hope. Now you
I
have
think
the
that's
union.
The problem, Weeby. I think they have 60,000 season ticket deposits.
Yeah, that is. Everybody's trying to get in, huh?
Yeah.
Figure it out. Be friends with the right person.
Weeby,
deposit in early.
Hey, this thing you can't go to, you don't want to miss out on it.
Well, that's why they have 60, right? Okay. Front runner Tom, what do you got? Keep us quick here.
Yeah, I mean, it's self-evident. This is the best period in Philadelphia Union history. This team is bringing back an overwhelming majority of seasons that made them so good the last few years. And there's one step left, and that's to win MLS Cup. I think that they're going to be real contenders for CCL And so they could fight for a whole lot of different trophies, and it's going to be a lot of fun along the way, given the way this team plays with all the attacking talent, all the kind of trying to be on the front foot, scoring a lot of goals. Maybe they won't score 7 goals a game like they did for a stretch in the summer of last year, but the team's going to put up numbers.
Should be fun.
And the hope is that no one city can lose 4 finals in a row, because that's where Philadelphia is at right now. MLS Cup, World Series.
Don't question
Super Bowl.
Joel Embiid. He could get to a finals and lose.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
he
can, not.
He can, Grant.
There's no
Grant
way the
Williams
Sixers
cannot
are coming
guard out. Joel Embiid. He, do
Grant
not even
Williams
start with
shut
me.
Him down.
Do
in
not
the fourth
even
quarter.
Start with me. This is gross.
This is reserved for shows when I'm not around. And yeah, in those shows you have free reign. You can do all that talk that you want. Today we're going
to
dig into
Tom,
week 1.
We're going to talk to some of your people in Jersey to see if we can deal with that.
If I start hearing a leaf blower outside my house and I didn't ask for any landscaping, watch out, Tom. Watch out. Today, again, big show. We're leading into week 1 here. We're going to hit all the best matchups in the first week in 2023, including, of course, El Trafico. That one's going on Saturday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. MLS Season Pass is the spot for that. So get Apple TV. First week is free, so you have no excuse not to watch. And once you watch, I think you're going to see the quality of the picture, the coverage, and you're going to say, oh, God, I love this league, and I've just got to have that all season long. So we'll look forward to that. We will hit the Gauss Theorem Player of the Year, which we somehow skipped in our awards prediction show. The Golden Boot Draft is today. There are 10 rounds plus a keeper. Tom is complaining about the rules already, which, I mean, that's just loser talk, Tom. Yeah, you were. Now I saw you on Twitter. Don't worry.
I was complaining that you decreed the rules to us and you tried to frame
ye,
it as if this
hear
was a collective
ye, hear
thing.
Ye. When you win the Golden Boot inaugural draft, then
you didn't invite me last year. That was the coward move.
We might have to uninvite Tom this year. And then in the mailbag, we'll assign some clubs to fans who are clubless. Let's get it started right now with El Trafico. Galaxy, LAFC, the Rose Bowl, Jake Zivin, Taylor Twellman have this call on MLS Season Pass. Thomas hit us up in the mailbag and says, what's the best Clasico of the year, the most entertaining rivalry or derby game? Is it still, for sure, undoubtedly El Trafico, Dave, or is there something else that could knock it off the perch?
No, it still stands there. And every time you add an epic, a playoff game, a game in front of a sold-out Rose Bowl, a 4-3 game, a 3-2 game, I think it actually amplifies it. So the other rivalries, I think, can complain and throw it out there. And, you know, hopefully St. Louis KC is special this year. Yeah. That has a ton of potential. The Florida one has a ton of potential with the quality there. It feels like Dallas and Austin are trying to push it a little bit as well. And obviously they met in a big game in the playoffs last year. But this is how you keep it first, is by doing the next thing. And they were the next thing because they were two big clubs that were facing off. But to do it in a Rose Bowl in like this setting on opening weekend, I think we'll keep it there for at least a year, if not longer.
And the other thing is, like, when's the last time you remember a really entertaining high stakes Cascadia Cup match? You know, when's the last time a Canadian Classique hit anything close to the level that we saw in the playoffs in the middle of the last decade? I guess they've had a couple mostly in the Canadian Championship. But like it hasn't really translated over to the regular season or to playoffs recently in the way that it used to and in the way that El Trafico does. So we're waiting for those two to sort of return to their glory. We're waiting for, Hudson River Derby has been really, really good the past couple of years. It hasn't hit the same peaks as El Trafico. Florida, I don't know if there's officially a name for the Florida Derby.
I stole Franco Panizo's, which is Clasico del Sol.
I like that one. Clasico. Clasico del Sol is really, really good. Like, hopefully we get a couple big games between those teams this year, because it feels like that one, given how insane both those fan bases are. That one could get interesting in a lot of ways. And then
although
the other
hell
one
is real.
Hell is real.
And you just haven't had the timing on that. Like, I think
this year could be special for that one, right? If Columbus can bounce back and since he stays where they are, two new stadiums that are sort of in a similar vein where I think both fan bases feel the other one, theirs is better than the other one. That one could be really big this year.
So if you're looking at El Tráfico, it's also, look, it's about the quality of the game. It's about the dramatics. It's about the occasion. It's also, like, let's be honest, too, just about the stars as well. And Carlos Vela and Chicharito, and maybe Chicharito, we'll talk about that in just a second, or Dennis Bouanga or Dejan Jovetic. You throw in, obviously, Ricky Puig in that conversation, the entire midfield for LAFC. The fact that LAFC are the double winners from last year and have sort of stolen the spotlight in LA. I mean, look, jealousy is extremely powerful. And yes, I have my Galaxy Shrine not yet set up in this new house, but we'll get it set up before El Tráfico.
That's what happened in Chicharito.
I know. His
hamstring. You got to send them a message so they don't risk him.
Exactly.
They don't know they don't have cover.
Hold him out today. Hold him out of training because his hamstring's being held together by those two candles and that ball that got El Tráfico in the MLS's back tournament. I still have that ping pong ball from Charlie Davies, by the way. It's in the shrine. So, but it's the stars. It's the players. They're going to make this game. But it looks like we're going to get Dejan Jovetic, Tom, because Chicharito was pulled out of training, not today, on Tuesday, you're listening on Thursday, with another hamstring issue, his second in about a week. Does that lessen the occasion for you, or are you such an MLS sicko that it actually elevates the occasion because you are Dejan Jovetic stan?
No, I think it'd be insincere to suggest that Chicharito probably not being available would raise the stakes. Like I think this show really loves Dejan Jovetic. We talk often about wanting to see the LA Galaxy go to a 3-5-2 so Jovetic and Chicharito can play together. But man, Chicharito's still a superstar. He's still the man for big moments, even good or bad, because he's kind of always involved. I don't know, he's a guy that I'd want to watch all of the time in El Tráfico and games like that. So it's unfortunate that it looks like he's going to be unavailable.
What's the biggest on-field story for you, Doyle?
For this coming weekend? Mm-hmm. Or from that game?
From El Tráfico.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be how LAFC look after winning the double last year and staring directly at CCL. They changed a lot from that team, but they kept some guys I think we all expected them to sell in Cifuentes and Palacios. They maybe upgraded in central defense with the addition of Aaron Long, but all of that is kind of overshadowed by the fact that they really only have two DPs right now. They don't have a true number nine. It's probably going to be Mahalo Opoku playing as a number nine in this one. They, for such a big occasion and for such a big tournament coming up like 2 weeks from now, they feel weirdly incomplete. But I low-key kind of love the idea of Mahalo as a number nine. I think he's really smart off the ball. He's always attacking that space in behind the defense. Now, we've only really seen him do that as a winger, but I think that will translate to what he does as a center forward. And then the other aspect of this is, like, he's just devastating defensively. He's like Maxi Arruti level defensively. And I think he could cause problems for that Galaxy central defense trying to play out. But, like, As fun as the Galaxy are right now, and like they are arguably more fun than LAFC on paper, how the champs look is the biggest story coming out of this game.
I'm a Ricky Puig stan, and I'm watching Ricky. You remember last year he almost got thrown out of that game, or I don't know, depending on your perspective, he almost did with a little like head nod, but whatever you want to call it. He clearly is up for this. He clearly understands sort of the stakes between the teams. Obviously, he understands Clásicos. And in year two, when the pressure is now on him, and I actually think he's sort of he's where that pressure is going to go. Like Chicharito's shoulders, he's not the future of the club. Ricky Puig is, at least for the time being. I want to see how he responds day one, maybe with Dejan, but saying, hey, you know what happened in the playoffs last year? I'm trying to reverse the script. I want to be the one walking off this field in front of 90,000. Amping people up, pointing at the other side, saying this was my moment, not yours. And we'll see. It's week one. Things can start slowly, but I have a feeling El Tráfico won't. Let's hit another game, and then we'll get into our Golden Boot draft.
Can I just throw out?
Yeah, yeah.
I think Bouanga is going to be special this year, and this is a stage to tell everyone that that's a fact, right? You talked about it's early, things change, but like if you hit in this game for any player, it gives you space to sort of go under the radar maybe later because everyone will watch this one game. And if he plays the way he did in the playoffs against the Galaxy, remember, goal and sort of dominated things, this could be the perfect start to the season for him.
Great point.
Saturday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. LA Galaxy, LAFC, the Rose Bowl, Jake Zivin, Taylor Twellman, on the call. Watch it on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. The week opens on Saturday as well, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, Nashville, NYCFC, and then runs all the way through the night. Obviously, MLS 360 will be right there with you. We got pre and post. Watch any game you want if you're on MLS Season Pass. Give me the game that you're watching, Doyle, the one that you're going to have primarily up in front of you just for the soccer, just for your brand.
Cincinnati versus Houston. Cincinnati, probably the most entertaining team in the league last year, or arguably anyway. I'm picking them to win the Shield for 2023, so that's two reasons. Houston will be interesting just to see how the rebuild goes, but really it's because our partner in soccer, Kalen Carr, is on the call as the color analyst in that one. So yeah, I will be watching that one with the sound on. And of course, have like 16 other games happening at once.
Are we going to live? Are we going to get in the partners in soccer group chat and just...
Oh yeah, just going to... He's going to have
live
to
text Kalen.
Absolutely going to have to mute that chat, yeah, 100%.
Live commentary straight into the pocket of Kalen Carr. It's a great shout. Doyle, you've picked Cincinnati to finish top of the East, so a lot at stake for you there. Dave, what are you watching? Pick a game.
Everything, but I'll go with Austin, St. Louis. Opportunity to see St. Louis for the first time ever in a competitive game as this group. And whew, you're going to be a high-pressing team that hasn't played together before. And you're going to go up against the highest possession team in MLS last year by a wide margin. One that's hosting an MVP finalist, that's added at center forward, that has a DP winger that they believe is ready to hit right now. This is trial by fire for St. Louis. So I'm excited to see how they hold up. I'm excited to see what Austin looks like after the success of last year, especially with the changes at the back. So this is a lot that we've been waiting for, and it's going to be fun to watch it play out in week one. And also anytime a game's at Q2, you're going to watch.
Can we make a request to Baby Girl just to keep her head off the mic there, to get a little get a little petting, purring feedback through Doyle's mic? It's, you know, it is what it is.
As she does what she wants. She's accustomed to this show now.
It's a gentle request. You know, Tom, what are you watching?
I do have to shout out the Whip Around Show again. I can't wait to have that on one of my screens, and I can't wait to see how that goes. But talking specifically for game, Philadelphia Union hosting Columbus Crew. There's a lot of intrigue around the Crew with the new coach, Wilfred Nancy. What are they going to look like? What is that style going to look like? How different is it going to be from the previous regime? There's been a lot of stories that come out about positive vibes and, oh, we're encouraged to make mistakes and it's okay, all this stuff. When you have Cucho Hernandez and Lucas Arrayan as your, you know, attacking duo, attacking talent, like, that team is pretty much must watch. And if they can kind of marry a fun attacking free-flowing style with it, they could be one of the most fun teams in the league. And they have a couple questions in defense. If those are solved, they can be one of the best teams in the league. And then obviously on the other side of that, the measuring stick is the Philadelphia Union, who, you know, were level on points for the Supporters Shield and didn't win it, and then got to penalties in MLS Cup and didn't win it. So they didn't technically lose any playoff games or be beaten by anybody in the regular season and came away with no trophies. See how they kind of bounce back. But again, this is that is the measuring stick for all teams in the East right now. And Columbus right off the bat going on the road to Philly, it's going to be a fun one.
I'm going to go Orlando Red Bulls. Been talking Orlando up all offseason. Best window in the league. Look at, you know, Martino Hayda, Facu Torres is going to take a step. Obviously, Doyle's driving the Duncan McGuire hype train at this point. Love the center back tandem.
You picked Robin Jansen as defender of the year, right?
Yeah, for sure.
He picked Robin Jansen and Antonio Carlos. They're going to be on a duo ticket.
And Rodrigo Schlegel.
I didn't, but now I have. Thank you. That would have been a pairing, we learned, but now we have the list.
We'll give you a free Schlegel on the side.
Okay, I'll take the Schlegel. I'll take the Schlegel from you. And then the Red Bulls. I mean, Vancier is in a press conference this week being introduced, saying, I just want to make the supporters happy. Hey, Dante, good luck, man. Good luck making those Red Bull supporters happy. Like, I don't know if you know exactly what you're walking into, but
in fairness, goals,
if he scores goals, they're going to love
him.
He's
replacing Patrick Lamala. So,
yeah. Okay, that's fair. Goals, let's start with trophies. Let's talk about it a later date. But, you know, the Red Bulls folks on Twitter said that we finally learned our lesson when they saw the predictions on MLSsoccer.com. Again, go check out the season previews, because they said we had been underrating them. And I think it's because we just didn't love watching them. But the results are there. I think the young talent is there. They now have what they would think is the final piece. So this Orlando team, this Red Bull team, that both have designs on the top of the Eastern Conference in week one should be really, really fun.
For the Red Bulls, like, all of that confidence, all of our confidence in them, their 13-year playoff streak. Like, this is the year it goes into the toilet, because everybody's starting the year with like such good vibes about the Red Bulls. Like, that's just the way it all works at MLS.
And they would set the record. For anyone who doesn't know, they were 1 year behind Seattle. Last year, Seattle did not make the playoffs. So that is tied right now, where the Red Bulls made it last year. Seattle made it in 2009, which was the extra year that Red Bulls hadn't. So if Red Bulls make it this year, they set the record. If they were not to, then they and Seattle would remain equal until the next team can pass them.
Interesting. I did not know that nugget.
Yeah.
All right. Put the PR muscle behind that, Red Bulls. Get the push on. Let everybody know. Before we get to Golden Boot Draft and get you a sick story from Dustin Lowe about his own Golden Boot Draft that we inspired, Dave, we did not do the David Goss theorem awards. And that is inexcusable. And I take personal responsibility for that. And I give you as much time as Anders will give you to tell us who your David Goss Theorem Player of the Year finalists are for the year 2023.
All right. Well, since we have that much time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it up by blood type. And then I'm going to break it up by time zone. And I'm just going to go through from there. Now, how many am I allowed? Come on. Give me a number.
As many as is reasonable or the buzzer sounds.
All right, I'll go with 4 or 5. I think there's a couple obvious ones.
Really expecting the buzzer to sound already.
The most obvious one, I think, is Emiliano Rigoni in Austin, who got the pure brunt, the Hani Mukhtar experience of being, underwhelming, not good enough, blaming everything on him. And now he's got the opportunity to settle in, get to know his team, get to know the league a little bit, get comfortable. Can he bounce back this year? So I think he's an obvious one. The other obvious one, and it was hard for me to put this together, so I went with a grouping, is the Chicago Fire.
Mm.
As an entire club entity, you could put it. As a coaching staff and, a front office down entity if you want. Or you could just go to Shaqiri and Jairo Torres if you really want to just stick to two specific players. But Shaqiri has the potential, I think, still, to be one of the biggest Goss Theorem winners of all time. And the other one I'd go with is Ace Ace. He was the biggest signing in Houston Dynamo history. He wasn't even playing at the end of the year. And then he went to the World Cup, an okay tournament, I guess, but there's a massive expectation on him. So those would be the three obvious ones. But then you have like the Camille Josriaks of the world, where it's like, yeah, this guy was nothing last year. Is he something? And that's the opportunity that a lot of players have that were signed. I think a lot of teams set themselves up with a summer signing last year, where now that player could have that opportunity.
I mean, Luquinhas, like, to bring it back to the Red Bull stuff, like, Luquinhas came in and he had like 7-8 good games in a row, but then he didn't do anything the final 20 games of the season. Like, he's a Goss Theorem potential guy, in my opinion. And if he is, then our predictions about the Red Bulls this year are going to look good, and they're going to make the playoffs for their 14th straight time.
I have Giacomo Veroni in that group as well. Kind of got in, injuries slowed him down.
He was so little, but Rigoni was little, played so little as well.
Yeah, and Veroni, maybe I'm probably over-indexing this win against Orlando in the preseason, where he looked pretty good in the second half. But Carlos Heel is going to create chances no matter who's on the field. The question is somebody going to finish those chances? It might not be Veroni. I mean, it seems like it's completely up for grabs at forward. Like, Gustavo Bo arrived this week with his green card. Josie Altidore has played in preseason. They had a little knock recently. Bobby Wood played the first half of that game. You have Veroni. Renix. Like, it just feels like a train wreck on that depth chart up top. But Veroni came in with a big pedigree, with a lot of hype, with the DP tag. And we're like, oh, yeah, the Revs have scouted really well lately. Well, let's see it. Let's see. They need a forward to do it.
And Adam Buksa was a Goss Theorem guy.
Let's go.
Buksa struggled year one. Everyone said, I can't believe how much they spent on this guy. I can't believe they're wasting the spot. And then he proceeded to get sold for $10 million. The next season, Veroni now has followed the same path. It's why I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I think when you look at Petrovic, when you look at, I think the skill of Dylan Barrero seems pretty obvious so far. Mm-hmm. And then Gustavo Bo, it feels like this group at New England has done a good job IDing international talent. So I'm going to believe that Veroni will hit this year.
I believe. Let's do Golden
Sounds
Boot.
Like it.
I do. I'm, like I said, I'm over-indexing one game, and that is classic, classic pre-week one MLS for you. Golden Boot Draft is here. I got an Instagram DM from Dustin Lowe, and he said this. Guys, I thought I'd share that listening to Extra Time inspired me to do my own Golden Boot League. There are now six in our league this year. They did one last year as well, and all are on the newer spectrum to following in MLS. They had a live draft, six teams, five players each. They decided to go. He's all in on the Portland Timbers himself. That's his Love fandom. It. About 4 years ago, he moved to Portland, got a season ticket. I don't know how he did that. In
Amazing.
Portland,
yeah.
Somehow he got in there. And then he started being the guy that brings people to games. So between his brother, his brother-in-law, some of his other friends, he brought people to Timbers games. All of a sudden, he has enough people via, you know, that outreach to have a literal Golden Boot draft in his own personal life.
This they is
have
great.
A weekly update with a chart that he's built. They all wore their jerseys of the teams they support during the Golden Boot draft. They watched the Goals of the Year video as a hype video on Zoom before they did their Golden Boot draft this year. It is sick. It is so, so sick that there's another Golden Boot out there. If you're doing one,
this is incredible.
Let us know. The rules for our second annual Extra Time Golden Boot draft are as follows. There are four GMs this year. Tom Bogert will take Kalen Carr's place because of scheduling. There's one keeper. We're adding a keeper per team. So you can look at your 22 team, and Tom will get a keeper from Kalen's 2022 team. So you get one player to keep. Then there are 10 rounds, reverse order of 22 finish, no snake. We all wanted the snake, but Anders refused to let us have the snake. So it's all just 1, 2, 3, 4, and then same order once again, right? Okay.
The ruling by Anders is that snake drafts are for cowards.
I thought Weeby was going to change it last second and just be like, you know what?
I had to respect it. I know who controls the ones and twos around here, and he can mute me at any time. He can mute me. He can hit me with the buzzer. Yeah, I gotta, you know, there's something Pavlovian about this. I gotta.
Anders would like it to be stated. The next part of that sentence is cowards in keeper leagues. So he's not anti the idea of a snake draft, just in a keeper league.
Okay.
It's a really weird, convoluted stance to have. Yeah. It's okay. Very...
Who are you keeping? So the order, Dave, Tom, Matt, Weeby. Dave, you're up first, and this is the keeper portion. Who are you keeping?
It's quite obvious. 2022 Goss Theorem Award winner and MVP finalist, Daniel Gosdag. Well, I'm pretty sure it's my second to last pick.
Yes. Yeah. Look, you know, it wasn't a great year for you, but that's a good one to hold on to. So Daniel Gosdag is the keeper from Dave. Tom, you have a pretty obvious keeper to hold on to here.
Yeah, this is like, you know, Chris Albright taking over at Cincinnati and just looking around and being like, oh my God, this is a bit of a mess. Oh, you just we have Lucho Casa over here. That's pretty cool. So I'll take Hani Mukhtar. I believe he was Kalen's only double-digit scorer, but he did win the Golden Boot, so well done, Kalen.
So you just called our good friend, our partner in soccer, Kalen Carr, you just called him Gerard Nykamp.
I didn't use those words. Kalen is a club legend at Team Kalen, but I think that scheduling was a polite way to need new ownership, need new vision. You know, he's welcome back at the club. This was mutual. He's always got a place here. And thank you for the one good player to choose for. Player made it easy.
Perfect.
My goodness, Tom just annihilated. Yeah,
perfect. Well done, relax. Tom. Well done. This is going to be a front page story on Soccer Manager, whatever it is that you're playing here. Matt, who are you keeping here? Who's your guy?
I have a few to choose from.
But yeah, you and me both.
Yeah, I'm waiting on it.
I'm going to go with Jeremy Abobase. His first year in San Jose, his first year as a full-time number nine. He scored 17 goals. He takes penalties for the Quakes, which matters to me. A few of the other guys don't. And that's can end up being 3-4 goals over the course of the season. And the other thing is, like, I really like the midfield. I really like those wingers. The defense got better. I think they're going to be just a more functional team this year. So I'm taking Abobase, and I would not be shocked if that got me 20 goals.
It would be hard to believe if he stays healthy that he gets less looks this year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So like the it, it if he finishes at a decent rate, he should be equal to better than last year.
Really? Yeah, and he's consistently been a guy who gets about 0.5 XG right. per game. He hit that last year. He hit that whenever he played as a center forward for Portland. So it's like, if he's on the field, you know he's going to consistently be in the right spot. And I think it's just going to be more functional overall for the Quakes, yeah.
You did a good job bulldozing me as I tried to make a Michael Estrada joke for two straight comments there, but just have to bring that back up. That Michael Estrada pick. Did you mind control him into that, Dave? Is that how we did that?
Bro, the guy went to the World Cup. What do you want?
That's true.
From me?
All right. I have some options here. Jesus Ferreira would be a good hold for me. Drewsy would be a good hold.
Take Ferreira.
I got Tyus Magno, Romel Quioto sitting around here. Demir Krylock is back. I got nothing out of Demir, and I still won this thing. Chicharito, though the hamstring is worrying.
Maybe why don't you take Demir? It sounds like you're pretty committed to that.
No, Gonzalo Lee couldn't hold on to him.
Yeah, you don't have to name
I'm just trying to show you, Tom, this is the sort of team that you should be looking to put together in 2023. I'm going to hold on to Sebastian Driussi. Takes penalties.
Wow. I don't know, man. Because if you think about it, Driussi gets his goals off of like one-touch finishes, off of box movement. And he was able to do that last year with Maxi Arruti because Arruti, he pulls out of that central channel and he operates outside of the box. But now with Jossi, who's more of a true number nine, how does Jossi score his goals? One-touch finishes off of box movement. I feel like you didn't think it through, Weeby, but the choice is made. Sebastian Driussi is your guy. Enjoy your 12 goals from your keeper this year.
Okay. This feels more like in medieval Europe when you'd like send your child to go live in the German Empire to create peace ties. Weeby's like, I will take this Austin star and I will care for him to show my true belief.
What is it? It's like the old version of an intern. What was it? I don't know.
All I know is defenestration, which is when you push someone out of a window.
Okay.
Are you a bigger fan of the first or the second defenestration of Prague?
Probably the first, because
there were two of them.
Yeah.
There were
But that one's when they fell in the poop and they said that God brought them down so that they didn't die.
Incredible.
Which is a great way to
MLS
read that.
Content. This is. Okay. Here's your pick, Dave. First round of non-keepers, you taking.
So this wasn't easy because obviously I didn't know who you guys were and weren't going to take. And there are a lot of really good pieces that are out there. But I am still going to stick with my first round pick that I put down on my board, who arrived in the middle of last year, so was not on a team. And I'm going to go with Cucho Hernandez. I think it's a team that's going to play more.
He would have been my pick too. Yeah
he's going to play. They're going to play even more in possession. He's young. He plays a ton of minutes. He's impressive. I think they're going to build around him under Nonce and some belief in Columbus. So Cucho is the first player that I take.
And anytime you could pick a striker who's being fed by Alexandre Matan, you just have to go with that guy. That's just goals on goals and goals.
Tom, you're up.
Andy Nahar looking like Steven Moreira, right?
There you go.
I'm going to go with Brandon Vasquez. I think that last year wasn't a blip. That was a trend. There's going to be a billion chances in that team. He's going to start every game that he's fit for. He's going to be integral to everything they do. And I think that he's an easy kind of safe floor of, 15 goals, if not pushing for a lot more.
Yeah, the one downside with Vasquez is he doesn't take PKs for that team. But like, if he took PKs as well, he would maybe be the top overall pick. I'm going to go with Willy Agata. It's a little more outside, but his underlying numbers. He came midseason like Cucho. His underlying numbers were better than Cucho's. Like he was insanely good for that Sporting KC team. I can't wait to watch this guy play.
I actually sort of am starting to worry about. If this doesn't go well, what it'll do to Toil.
I will be distraught.
Let's see. I think I'm going Mikel Ura with my first pick off the back.
That makes me so angry.
I knew you wanted him, but it's not because you wanted him. If you, again, to go to the underlying numbers, his start of the season was a little rocky, a little bumpy. I don't think we saw the best from him by any means, and he still almost hit 15 goals. The Union are going to score a lot of goals, and Ura's going to be in a position to do that. So I'm taking Mikel Ura with my round one pick. So it goes back to you, Dave, because we're not snaking. Who you got?
Felt really good because I thought he was going to make it back to me, and that was going to be my pick. So I'm going to go one more down on the list, and I know I'm going to regret this, but you only live once. So I'm going to go with Bernadeschi right out the gate.
Wow.
He is a monster. He is a one-man attack. It doesn't matter if Toronto is bad or good. It still feels like he's going to put up a double-double this season at a minimum. And it feels like he's not going to the Italian national team. He's going to be around. If he's remotely healthy, it guarantees me 10 to 15 goals.
That's a good pick, I think.
I'm up. That Jesus Ferreira is still on the board. I'm gonna take him, even though, you know, maybe that was a high watermark last season for goals. But again, he's in somebody else's, the center forward for a team that creates a lot of chances, and he's gonna play all the time.
Smart, yeah. Practical pick. Yeah. Nothing to be ashamed of there.
Doyle only complimented the first round. Now he's
the second round. He's not trying to give anything away at this point. He's like, oh yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever you feel. Yeah, that seemed good to you. Okay, fine. Okay.
Boy, I got a decision to make here, because there's, I feel like the obvious ones are off the board. Man, this is tough. I don't think Chicharito's done. I'm gonna go with Chicharito
as he limps off the field.
That was if we recorded three hours before this, I think Chicharito would have been off the board. So this is either going to be like a genius stroke, or just like, oh my God, that was an injury that lingered and never went away.
Yep.
Okay. I am going to go with, I'm between two guys. I think I'm going to go with the one that I feel is a more obvious goal scorer. And that's Georgios Giakoumakis. I think that he among the guys I'm thinking of, I think he's the more just like potential volume scorer here. And he's got Golmada behind him. He's got Etienne. I'm not betting on Araújo, but the talent's there. He just hasn't shown it. So Georgios.
And this, he scored at like a goal per 95 minute rate for like the last 3 years. He wasn't playing a ton with Celtic, and he still won the Golden Boot because it was like 13 goals tied for it. It wasn't a great year for goal scorers in Scotland. But the year before that, when he went to Celtic, he had, I think, like 26 goals and 30 appearances in the Netherlands. Like, he's
Tom is a Scottish Premier League expert. That's why he's on the show.
Tom's actually just excited because, as a diehard Hibs fan, he didn't want to see Giakoumakis in hoops again.
Somebody just scored their first for Hibs. Oh my gosh. How am I forgetting his name? Was that Schalke, American player? Was it Mallorca?
Hoppy.
Oh, Matthew Hoppy. Yeah.
All right, Dave, you're up.
So I have a couple cute names to throw in there, but I'm trying to not do what I did last year. I'm overcorrecting, and I'm going to go Raul Ruiz Diaz. He is elite. Smart. In Major League Soccer. Everything was down last year.
Those hamstrings.
Seattle's back. Well, Doyle just took Chicharito the round before, so I feel okay in the grand scheme of things. And this is a team that creates chances. He's the one who finishes them off, so I'm going to believe that it's a bounce back.
All right. Tom, you're up.
Yeah, there are a lot of different ways you can go here. I think I'm reaching slightly, but I don't think he'll be there when we come back around. I'm going to go with Denis Bouanga.
I don't think that's a reach.
Are you concerned about his finishing last year? No. In terms of goals per, or in terms of expected goals per 90, he was great. In terms of actual goals per 90, he was Kevin Cabral-esque for a while there.
You said that pretty early in the number. I think that he's going to be more than fine over
there. He also got better as the year.
He was in my tier one. I tiered mine out. He was in my tier one, and there's not many guys left in that top tier. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good choice.
Is Christian Benteke in that top tier for you?
Make your pick and I'll tell you.
Was that your pick? Hold on, was that Doyle's pick? Can we get a ruling on this?
That's my pick. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't think DC is going to be very good. I do think, however, that they're going to create a lot of chances. And Benteke, everywhere he's gone in his career, he's found chances. He was like Bouanga last year, though. He blew a lot of like sitters. He blew a lot of chances that you would expect him to put away. So this year, I'm going to expect him to put those away.
All right. That sends it back to me. Let's see here.
That's what's tough about the radio of these is You can't think out loud because then you give everything away. Yeah. Like last year when I said Mason Toyer, Jeremy Bovesy.
I know. Then they know what you're thinking. You don't want that. This might be a Tom steal, and I might regret this because he hasn't really shown the volume over his whole career. I'm gonna take Enzo Copetti.
Nice.
I respect it.
In Charlotte.
To be clear,
I may regret that one.
Tom actually doesn't feel anything. Tom's been slow. Tom's been long playing this for about 4 months, knowing he was going to be on the Instagram today. He made up fake sources, fake contacts.
Every time he talks to me, Enzo Copetti.
By the way, that's what I did with Michael Estrada. I'd seen him play. I knew he was going to be bad, and I talked Doyle into it.
You're up, Dave.
Oh, it came back around quickly on that one. Okay. I'm stuck between two right now. All right. I will do for the household, which is, we'll get into the email later in the show, but there's pretty much only one person that my wife watches Major League Soccer for.
I've already
now.
Put his name in.
And it's Julian Carranza.
And if Philly's going to be as good as I think they're going to be, there's going to be a lot of goals, and I'll split the Carranza. Hey,
if you couldn't have Mikel Uri, you might as well have the next best thing, and that's Julian Carranza. Tom, you're up.
I should go with somebody more proven, but I'm getting lost in the hype and the excitement of Dante Venzier with the Red Bulls. We've been talking about it. This could look silly in however many weeks, but I'd be kicking myself if he scores 19 goals and he was there for me.
Okay. Doyle, you're up.
The Galaxy are getting at least 25 goals combined between Chicharito and Dejan Jovalich, and so much.
That's smart.
Well, handcuff.
You got to double that investment. Make sure you have every single possibility covered. Well done. Okay, I am up. I am going to take Lorenzo Insigne. I don't believe too much in Lorenzo, and he showed sort of a propensity last year for not putting off the best body language to follow some Bobby Warshaw analysis over the years, but he still scored 6 goals, and they're going to be explosive even if they allow 60 goals.
6 whole goals.
Hey, get out of here.
Wait, so who did you say?
Lorenzo Insigne.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was just making sure.
Okay. You're up, Dave.
I am torn between two right now, but I'm going to stick with my previous method, which is this team will score goals, and even if he's not the leading goal scorer, I'll take them. And I'm going to go bounce back here from Giassi Zardes. I think it's pretty obvious. Doyle basically laid it out with Drewsy stuff. And like, even if he still scores 25 goals, there's a lot in there for Giassi to get. And it's going to be his spot to lose at the starting position. So,
I look forward to a lot of near post runs as the ball just cut back to Drewsy for a finish. All right, Tom, you're up.
Sebastian Ferreira, it's not quite a sexy pick. Houston, we'll see what they are, but he's going to start all of the games, and dude scores goals. Hopefully Amin Bassi and Alan Franco help with chance creation for the paraguay.
I love the dude scores goals hopefully line there from you. That was
dude good. Scores goals, man. That's the analysis you come hopefully. Here for.
Doyle, you're up.
1500 minutes last year and has sprained his gives a damn muscle. Joseph Martinez still scored 9 goals. I think he's going to be re-energized by the move.
Was waiting to see when he got
to Fort Lauderdale. I'm repping this Miami kid. I'm repping Joseph Martinez on my team.
I got crushed by Joseph last year.
9 goals isn't bad, dude.
Yeah, I think I took him too high. Or maybe it was 2 years ago. How long have we done this?
It was last year.
I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to the well. And I'm going to go back to the Romel Kyoto well. He is the best option they have, and he fits exactly what Hernan Losada wants from forwards, which is that he just runs straight downhill and gets a goal as soon as possible. So 15 goals last year, and he fell off like the last 2 or 3 months of the season. I don't think he's going to be consistent. I don't think that's in the cards for him, but I do think double-digit goals is. So I'm going to Romo Kyoto. Dave, you're up.
I got to build my brand, and so I'm going to go with MVP favorite, Lewis Morgan. I continue to take penalty kicks. I think it's going to be a really good year for New York. So
there's no way he's going to continue to take penalty kicks.
Why?
They just spent $5 million, made a record signing on their new DP center forward.
The last guy that was a record signing, they bought out so that he could leave like 18 months later.
The one thing Patrick Klamala did before they bought him out was take penalty kicks.
True. Yeah, I'm still going to believe in, obviously, an MVP season from Lewis Morgan.
All right, you're up, Tom.
Lucas Zelarayan. We'll see if he's the second forward or the 10 for Wilfred Nantes's crew. But regardless, dude's going to score goals.
I was going to say that after everything. He was going to be my pick if it got to me. But alas, Tom, you were there.
Could have had him on a snake draft.
All right, Doyle, you're up.
Sergio Cordova. He had 8 goals in his last 14 games for RSL last year. I think he's going to be in a more functional attack in Vancouver. He really bought into being a center forward by the second half of the season. So, yeah, I could see a dozen, 15 goals from him.
Okay. I'm going to bet, once again, I enjoyed it last year, and I think he's in a position to potentially score more on Tyus Magno up top. I know it's an unknown. I know we don't know how he's going to handle that number 9 position, but he's got guys around him that I think will create chances for him. And, yeah, let's see that step up. Let's have that Tati effect on Tyus Magno. I'd love to see it, Tyus. Round 7. Dave, who you got?
I think this is where we're really starting to get the energy and get the
juice. Yeah, let's go. Bring it up. There, let's go.
Come there on. Is one player that I cannot make a decision around. So I'm going to continue to push it down.
I think I'm the same,
kick the can down the road.
You know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I think we all do. I'm going to go with Nowakowski. Again, I do think he'll take penalties. I think Charlotte's going to have a pretty good year. I know he'll play as the 10, but he's a natural goal scorer. And if Capetti opens up running lanes, that's an option for him. So, yeah.
All right. You and I are just complementary players here. We're in it together. All right. Like, we wanted the attacks to do well, but I don't want yours to do as well as mine. Tom, you're up.
I'm going to go Facundo Torres, talking about how awesome we all thought Orlando City's offseason was. Facundo Torres going into year 2. I thought he started playing his best ball later in the season last year, and more of that he still scored, 9 goals, and that doesn't even include the Open Cup run. So, yeah, he takes penalties, takes free kicks, and he seems to shoot always a free kick. So I like kind of the bonus goals you can get there.
I'll take another guy from that game that we saw this past weekend with Orlando City, Giacomo Veronia. I might be over-indexing based upon that game, but like that's the performance you want from a center forward heading into the season with the spot on the line. And look, Bruce trusts his DPs. He plays his DPs. He's always done that. And the other obvious point is the one that David made. Adam Buch's second year in the league, he was awesome. So Brioni's my guy.
Diego Rubio is my pick.
Good pick.
He's my dude. I like Diego Rubio a lot, and he is going to be the 9 in a rebuilt Colorado team and got 16 goals last year without those players around him. So Diego Rubio goes with the 28th pick in round 7 of the Extra Time Golden Boot Draft. Round 8, Dave, kick it off with a bang.
We need to add more rounds.
Yeah, it needs more rounds. Certainly, that's what this needs.
Okay, kicking it off in the next round.
I'm going with a dude that scores goals.
This is tough, and I'm kind of lost in this one, where I'm at right now. I'm going to go with Jordan Morris. I already got Rui Diaz. I'm pretty much going to try and take the Seattle goals off the board. And you know he'll start if he's healthy every single game.
Okay. Tom, you're up.
All right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the one that takes Brenner. 8th round for probably half a season. I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
he's motivated to score a ton of goals and get the out.
Doyle had Tati last year. That worked out pretty well for him. So
yeah, Brenner's no Tati. I'm going to do it for the brand. Duncan Maguire.
He took him in hand. Let's go.
You could have waited.
I love that so much.
How many think he gets?
I think he gets a dozen.
Doyle know that we have 2 more rounds?
Heck yeah. I love it.
Doyle's worried someone else is going to take
him. I know. He was. Okay. So I'm up, and I'm going to take – like, I know it's not the same player that we've seen over the years, but he will take the penalties, and LAFC are going to be very good. I'm going to go Carlos Vela. Still 12-12 last year.
Is Carlos Vela going to take the penalties when they sign a DP number 9?
Well, they got to sign that nine, and I don't know when that's going to happen. Probably not in this. Yeah, sure, but probably not in this window.
I still think he'd be taking the penalties.
Really? Know, if Aubameyang or like an Aubameyang type comes to L.A., you think Carlos Vela is still taking the penalties?
This is Vela's team, man. Like, this is – I don't know. Okay. I'd still bet on him taking the penalty. Unless that they have somebody who's, like, hitting penalties at, like, a 95% rate wherever else he was playing. Like, I'd be surprised if there's a scenario that Carlos Vela isn't taking pens.
Okay, you're up, Dave.
Okay.
No one is less prepared for – he really needed the snake, did Dave?
I'm completely prepared. I just don't have any belief in anyone right now because I got burned so hard last year. But I'm going to say I believe in a big improvement from Sporting KC. Willy Agata will lead the line, but he won't score all the goals. I think there's a ton of creativity in this team. And even last year, Johnny Russell had 8 goals. So I'm going to go with Johnny Russell.
He was at the bottom of my tier two, which we've basically worked through. So I like that pick. Last year was a down year for him, but I think it's going to get better. Tom, what do you got?
Like you guys said, there's not a lot of obvious options. There's a couple different ways. I think Martin Ojeda is going to play every week. That's a safe enough bet rather than rolling on maybe a center forward who have less minutes. I think Martin Ojeda's got goals in him.
Okay. I think it's a good pick. He was on my list. Doyle?
It's tough.
At this point, it's like just go with somebody that you want to score goals just so you can be excited when they do it. It's not like, well, like there's, no, a ton of ten, there's a ton no, of 10 goal potential here, like all over the board, but it's hard to pick who that guy's going to be.
So we've all avoided St. Louis for the obvious reasons. Like when expansion teams come in, they don't tend to score a lot of goals. But I think this team's going to play some open games. I do think that they have a philosophy on how they want to play, and that philosophy is going to end up with the ball in the box a ton. And so Klaus is going to get onto the end of some of those, and he's going to take their PKs. So yeah, Klaus is my guy.
Love that.
Big Klaus, folks, after meeting him in San Jose. I'm going to go, you know, you got Joseph, but I think Leo Campana can be much better this year. And if Messi arrives, then we're both betting on the bump. So I'm going Leo Campana with my second to last pick of Inter Miami, which brings us to the final round of the second annual Extra Time Electric Golden Boot Draft. Dave, finish it off. This is your last big decision, man.
I hate what you just said because it's making me shift what I'm going to do about the, like, just pick good someone you can root for. Because it's right. It is good. I want to take Brenner so bad just to because if
gone.
It works.
I already,
who took Brenner?
It's round 8 for you.
He's off the board. Tom took him round 8.
Oh, great. Okay, then I don't have to stress about that. That one's off the board. All right, I'm going to go with one of the guarantees, I think. And I'm going to go with Dabgod down in Atlanta. I think he's going to score 10 plus goals and level up for me.
Yeah, you really just need to avoid basically like 5 goals or less guys, and that'll get you an awful lot in this. Tom, your final pick is?
Got it. I got to stick to the brand. Jerdan Shaqiri, Gostrum season. Let's go.
Oh, goodness. I'll stick to my brand as well, and I'm going to take Gabriel Pereira from NYCFC. I've mostly – like, I think I went purely center forwards throughout my draft here, but Pereira had 8 goals in 1,300 minutes coming into this team. Like, he could double that. He could double both those numbers in 2023, especially because with Talis Magno playing as a false nine, they're going to be asking – those wingers to do a lot of the scoring. Yeah.
I had been waiting since round 6 and just hoping that he would fall and just biding my time. And then
all right, Weeby, I'll help you out.
No, you already took him. It's over.
No, it's an odd numbered year, and CJ Sapong is a starter.
Nice.
So you know that means double digit goals, and also. We all expect Toronto FC to score a lot of goals. Even if they're not good, we expect them to score a lot of goals, and nobody's taken their starting center forward yet.
Yeah, I have
Diamande. Forget that. Weeby, go.
Ariola.
Go for the young glow-up of Alan Velasco.
I have Alan Velasco on the list, too.
Or the return of Cole Bassett, making runs out of midfield, a guy you want to root for.
Yeah, I hear all that.
While you're at it.
I hear all that. I got. Dude, if I really want to go Dmir Krylov on the back end.
Or yeah, go Tommy.
If you really want to flex, right? Because you've been kind of lording it over us that you won last year.
I have been, yeah.
Take Cabral.
I thought about it, but I'm going to go.
If you really, I feel like I'm in an episode of The League right now.
I already put it in there. I already put it in there. I'm going, you know what? We don't know when that DP number 9 is coming. But even when Mahalo Opoku wasn't a starter,
wow,
he got a ton of goals.
Wow.
Okay.
I want Mahalo Opoku to do his thing. So I'm going Opoku. There it is. 10 rounds, 11 players overall. Any feeling about who might have the best team out of the gate right now?
Yeah, Anders.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's at the field. I think, Dave, you've got a very solid team. Gazdag, Cucho, Bernadeschi, Rui Diaz, Carranza, Zardes, Morgan, Swiderski, Jordan Morris, Johnny Russell, Etienne. Yeah, it's a good team.
I feel strong. I have a lot of not the main guys. Obviously, as we said, we sort of split on those. But I don't have a lot of guys who have been hurt recently, which is what killed me. Last year, I'm not like relying on pure potential. So let's see what happens.
In the case of a tie, tiebreaker is assists. Just to make it easy, and we'll remind ourselves that the 2022 Golden Boot draft standings were Wiebe with 120 goals, Doyle with 118, Kalen with 79, and David Goss with 78. So a clear demarcation between the haves and the have-nots.
What do you think the odds are we didn't select the Golden Boot winner?
I think pretty low.
Pretty low.
Yeah, pretty low.
Unless LAFC is legit about to make a move for a DP number 9.
Yeah, unless Lewandowski shows up.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to the mailbag.
But I will also say that Portland's potential new number 9 could factor in as well, because that 3 line is, you know, they're going to create a ton of chances.
I thought about offering the possibility for us to create to draft futures so that you can.
Well,
draft,
we should
like,
probably redraft when the LAFC summer window closes. No.
Yeah. Like, for sure. Yeah, we'll do that. No, believe me, I've already.
Like, oh, we got drafts.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've already thought about that.
We should do a draft to get draft pick positioned for that draft.
Yeah, that's for 2024. Any ideas you have? I am obviously open to any and all.
Can I trade an international roster spot in perpetuity, or is there a limit to what I'm allowed to do?
We make up the rules here on Extra Time. So you just, you know, send it to the commissioner. Send a proposal to the commissioner. In this case, that's me. And I will evaluate.
In this case, it's Anders. It's not you.
Yeah. Okay, fair.
I just want you guys.
Absolutely not you.
I just want you guys to know that I don't want to move any players, but I'm always listening.
So right.
If you have any offers,
just text me. WhatsApp me.
Just
call
come
me.
To me. Yeah.
Okay. Mailbag time. 401-206-0MLS. ExtraTimeMLSsoccer.com. We probably check Twitter and the email the most. So if that matters to you, hit us there. Thomas, who always drops heat in my Twitter DMs. Also, my DMs are open on Twitter. I guess Instagram. So, I mean, get at me however you want. It says, if you guys have time for a mailbag tomorrow, laughing emoji, looking at you, Anders. Besides the current champions of the top 5 teams from each conference last season, which had the most disappointing and unambitious offseason in terms of pushing to be title contenders? So Western Conference, where did Minnesota United finish?
I was going to say they're 6th, I believe. All right? Yeah, Minnesota finished 6th. Nashville finished 5th.
So probably Nashville, you would.
I would. So, okay, let me throw this out there.
Somebody getting hit by a train? What was that?
I lived in train tracks.
It's the unfortunate combination of thin walls, train tracks, and landscapers. It's just really an audio nightmare wherever it is in New Jersey that Tom lays his head.
So on this, how would you quantify Montreal?
Probably
accept the reality of what their club is, and I don't think anyone's complaining, but they sold Georgi Mihailovic, they sold Alistair Johnson, they sold Ismail Kone. And they haven't replaced all of that at a high level.
How would you look at New York City in that same case, losing their entire spine? They did bring back Santi, but that's a return of a guy that they had. There's a question mark there as well.
The other one I would say is LAFC. I know people are fine.
Well,
you know,
he said it in the mailbag. He said other than the returning champions, right?
Oh.
Did he?
Yeah. I thought
besides the current champions, yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Reading comprehension.
So I think Montreal and NYCFC would be the two highest ones.
Okay. Tom Kosfis wants to be assigned a team and potentially for us to name his third child.
Ooh.
So Tom is from Milwaukee, so he doesn't have a club here. He tried to follow Chicago since they're the closest team to watch. He has two sons. Beckham is 5, Holden is 3, so he's already on the soccer name bandwagon. He follows Miami because of the Beckham connection. You name your child, you follow the team. That's the way it works. He never liked Houston all that much, but was obviously a huge Stu Holden fan.
Did he name his kid after Stu Holden?
Yes, correct. Holden, wow. Stu Holden, yes. He says he's a true MLS sicko. Case in point, look, we love you, Tom. He listens to every Extra Time, my man. His family vacations usually revolve around which stadium we can travel to next. Thank God my wife loves me enough for that. LOL. Big into MLS fantasy. And yeah, so he needs to
did you make this person up?
No.
Okay.
Tom is very real. Check your Twitter.
This was not me.
Yeah.
The Thomases, yeah. There's been a lot of my names floating around here.
You don't have a child. Yeah, no. So we'll get to the child just part have in trains. Section.
It's Thomas Morosa.
Here's some identifying characteristics for Tom to help us choose a team. Adult beverage, old fashioned. Favorite band, he's all over the board, but he says recently Chromeo or the 1975. Vacation climate, somewhere warm since Wisconsin is cold half the year. Personal style, hat and hoodie kind of guy, still enjoy dressing up every now and then. Stadium seat, dead center, lower level. Favorite colors, emerald green, cobalt blue. Very specific there from Tom. Style of play, attacking midfield players. He definitely enjoys flashiness to a player and a good set-piece taker. Like, we got Beckham and Holden in the building. So, yeah. Also, he's a UPS driver, so he's overworked and undervalued, if that means anything as well.
All right, so I'm going to take some of this. Not all of it, because it's hard to fit it all together. So, unfortunately, the vacation part's going to go away. And I'm going to say FC Cincinnati. Lucho Acosta, flashy attacker, underrated maybe at times, great atmosphere, throw on a hoodie, hang out with the Bailey pregame. You can march to the stadium, which is always fun. That makes it a whole occasion. It makes the trip worth it. Plus, slightly regional. So
you know, he could get there. It's reasonable to think that he could get there. He's already got Miami, so he says he likes that vacation climate, somewhere warm. So if he's already got Miami in his heart, he can get there. And then he says, so we're going Cincinnati. Any dissent there? You guys good with Dave's assignment?
I mean, it sounds like he's already a Miami fan.
Yeah. Well,
it's the danger of being a Miami fan.
Just from naming his kid after David
Beckham.
You're
also always open to something else, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would Austin work here? The attacking mid, you got Dreyse there. Set piece taker, Diego Fagundes. Old fashioned. That seems like a little trendy. That works for Austin. I think that looks cool. The hoodie and stuff. I could see Austin. Not
There's
sure
also a feel outside, though. Again, the vacation climate of Seattle. He likes the emerald green and cobalt blue, so it almost felt like he was guiding us there. You have Nico Ladero as your, you know, he's not flashy, but he has flash. No, maybe not a perfect fit for him on that side. I'm just trying to find him somewhere warm since Tom seems to enjoy that. Anyway, Tom, let us know what you end up with. On the flip side, he says if his wife and he have another child, they're considering it right now. If it's a boy, they need another MLS-themed name. He says, he knows Weeby loves a list. So if you have any good name ideas, it'd be awesome to hear. If we were going to try to name Tom's third child, what would we name Tom's third child?
Takawira.
Digital?
Yeah, digital for sure.
How about Doyle?
Are you going to say
Dogger Dan?
Dogger Dan. He likes set piece takers. And a little, I think, like
the correct pre- the correct like, answer. The correct preckie? Answer is well, Preki's a good one, but the correct answer is Marco.
Yeah, no, that is the right answer. I think that's the one, Marco. Yep. That's a good name. I like that name. Okay, we're gonna keep it rolling here with we'll go around. Abby from Wisconsin. God, Wisconsin male just rolling in. Help!
Don't
help!
Have a team.
Yeah, help! Help! She says, "I'm looking for an MLS team to root for. My kids play soccer. I follow the USWNT, and I'm a big fan of Alex Morgan. My husband follows Chelsea in the Premier League because of Christian Pulisic. We live in Wisconsin and could not support a Chicago or Minnesota team in good conscience. I like wearing bright colors. It's also important for me to match with a team that has plenty of eye candy. I'm hoping to be matched with a team that I can cheer for with longevity, not a one-season wonder. And I have I assigned this to Dave's wife, Megan." Come up with the proper team to assign Abby because she is well-versed in the eye candy and has a lot of opinions about the jerseys in MLS.
And on the back of a 20-day work trip in her hotel room at 10 o'clock at night, she put together a full 29-team spreadsheet.
Legend.
So there's a lot in here. A reminder on the work trip thing. So some of it's a bit chaotic. Like, under Austin, it says solid Irishman in Gallagher, if that's your type. Head coach Josh Wolf is a type. So there's a bunch in here. I can tell you a few were eliminated early. Obviously, Abby said no Chicago, no Minnesota. Then pretty much all of the non-high colored clubs were taken off the board pretty immediately. And then she started to put in notes as well as distances for our final four clubs. So the four she came down to was Austin, because, you know, of course,
yes, John Gallagher. Depends on your taste.
Charlotte, Philadelphia, and the fourth one was Inter Miami. Now, she would like me to give a special shout out to Inter Miami, whoever planned the roster page picture shoot, because every single player is modeled where every club in MLS is like a square box and just a head. It looks like an American Eagle shoot for was her comments or Abercrombie. I don't remember which one she said. When you look at
those pictures, you can literally smell the cologne. Like it just jumps.
Have you seen it?
I literally just searched it. Yeah, this is very flattering.
And they look great. So yeah, good job.
This is awesome.
For making your players look cool and look good, as well as some neon colors.
Is that how you guys met? Like you were just finishing up with an American Eagle photo shoot, a modeling shoot, and you bumped into Megan and she was like, wow, this guy.
I mean, you'll notice from all these names that they're all exactly like me. So you can tell she has a clear type.
With Gonzalo Higuain or Pipa Higuain.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta say the eyes are really popping on this.
Man, last night, Miami page. Also, she's 2 hour time difference behind, so it was 12:30 for me when she would name teams and say who are the hot guys, and I'm like, you gotta give me more. Like I can't just start naming rosters. So FC Cincinnati, by the way, not on this. Got a shout though for the keepers. So congrats to Alec Khan and Roman Salentano and whoever else are the keepers. I don't know why she was specific about that. Philadelphia, as we have stated on the show already, Julian Carranza leads in all Major League Soccer. Also, Alejandro Bedoya and Andre Blake are high on her list. She also wanted to mention that Christian Pulisic is from Hershey, Pennsylvania, which would be a little bit of a connection to Abby's husband, I think. And distance-wise, it was the closest of the four that she picked to them, but not the one she picked. Inter Miami, obviously the furthest. Austin FC as well, but she landed on Charlotte FC.
She said,
Andre Shinyasiki has a great smile. The jerseys are techno-colored, as we saw Andrew Wiebe wore one earlier this week on our show. And many of the best women's players on the U.S. Women's National Team come through UNC as well as North Carolina in general. So we wrapped all of that up. And Abby, you are now, congratulations, a Charlotte FC fan.
That is the sort of research that Tom Bogert wishes he did on the Golden Boot draft. That's just some good stuff. That's absolute gold right there. Megan,
Tom has the weakest team then?
No, I just am trying to troll Tom. This is
that what you're saying, Doyle?
Mind games off the jump.
I mean, you took Shaqiri.
What happens when Willie Agata is not playing and Alan Plato's starting?
You took Brenner.
In the eighth round.
Okay.
All right. Congratulations, Abby. That was as comprehensive of a decision as we've had so far on assigning teams. Derek Pemberton hit us up, said soccer was the only sport I loved playing growing up, though with no ambitions to ever play beyond those years. As with many, I found myself glued anew to the sport during the last World Cup. I now have the opportunity to enjoy soccer with my teenage son. We would like to get more in touch with MLS and connect with the team. I've started this process by listening to your podcast, but I don't know what team to choose. After hearing you all assign fans the team, I thought I'd reach out. We live in Oklahoma City. We have not been to an energy game yet. Leland and I like to ride and skate trails together. He on his bike and me on my inline skates. We both agree that pepperoni pizza is toward the top of our food list. We also both like cream soda, and the dad likes a classic margarita. Rambo First Blood, probably our favorite movie together. I grew up in Northwest Oklahoma. Leland has grown up in Central Oklahoma. As a kid, I typically played fullback. There are many things I wasn't great at in soccer, but I was fast, aggressive, and good with the intercept and tackle. So where are we going here? I'm feeling like maybe a St. Louis City is in line for Derek Pemberton and his son Leland. We've got Rambo First Blood, first home jersey. Boom. We're fast, aggressive. We're good in the intercept and the tackle. It's a pretty easy, like relatively easy drive north to St. Louis from Oklahoma. St. Louis, known for what I would define as terrible pizza, but they like it. So we have the pepperoni pizza link there.
You got the aggressive style.
Yeah. I feel like cream soda is something that people in the Midwest like, even though I don't personally like
love cream soda. Love cream soda.
Classic margarita is universal everywhere. Yeah, you can get
big Midwestern drink, the classic margarita. If you want the best margaritas in the world, you just go to Wichita, Kansas, folks.
It's the fresh citrus all year round.
They put a little hay in it. It's great.
What do you think? Derek and Leland, do we think St. Louis City, they get to experience something like this? Is they're kind of coming in together for the first time, and they get to share this thing from the start.
You got it right, Weeby. I think that St. Louis is the right call for this father-son duo.
The other shout would be the Red Bulls for the similar playing style identities. And then the little pizza shout in there, the Rambo style, the same color, the red. But like, it's probably more practical for St. Louis if they want to get to more games. But if we're just taking geography away, I think the Red Bulls might edge it.
So I was going to throw in Orlando. I think young,
the famous Orlando
players.
Pepperoni pizza. Yeah,
I mean, Doyle, come on. Once you get west of 10th Avenue, you're already losing the pizza battle, so there's not really much opportunity there. But
I shouldn't do Hell's Kitchen dirty like that. There's some good pizza in Hell's Kitchen.
There potentially is. Well, now it's all Hudson Yards, so it doesn't really matter.
That's fair.
But yeah, I think that there could be, again, Orlando, I think as long as Oscar's been there, actually this feels like something new that could last for a while, so it might be a good time to sort of get on board.
The assignment, father to father, Derek is St. Louis City. Enjoy. Take the good with the bad, and everything will be new and fun for you guys. And that stadium is awesome. We finished with Mike Winder. He had his subject line was "Adrift in the Bay." Good evening, Extra Time team. I could use your assistance in finding the right team to dive into this year. I'm from Virginia, followed DC strongly at the start, but fell out of MLS for over a decade. He grew up with his Richmond Kickers. Then he was stationed in Omaha for 7 years and got embedded in the soccer culture there. Sporting KC has a good base in Omaha, so I even gave them a look. Union Omaha sprang up after I left, but I support the club even maybe more than my hometown club in Richmond. I did find my way back to the East Coast and tried to give DC a go while Losada was there. It was fun, and then everyone was gone. Part of this adventure is finding joy, which just doesn't seem to exist in DC. I'm looking for a good culture, good people, and a franchise that cares. Help me find that joy and take full advantage of the new season. Best wishes to everyone, and thanks for all you do. The podcast helped me get back into MLS. And that last sentence, that strums at the heartstrings. Mike, I appreciate you, man. What are we going to go with? So we need to give him joy. Where's the joy going to come from, Mike?
I just caution and just say that life is pain and sports fandom in general is pain. So maybe
in case anybody is wondering, Tom just watched Liverpool lose 5-2 as we were recording this pod.
No, but they were leading 2-0.
Yes, everything ahead. Multiple texts that said, "We're so bleeping back," and then replying to my own text, "No, we're not." We're not back.
So you know pain, but do you know joy, Tom? Can you give Mike joy?
I can't do that. I'm not the joy guy.
You're not capable.
Doyle's the one who beams optimism.
So just low hanging fruit here.
I say, okay, go ahead, David.
Ryan Giebe from Union Omaha signed and taken by Minnesota United after losing to Union Omaha last year. So if you want to follow that track,
is there joy though? No,
I just was just that one thing.
Okay,
just right. Throwing
I'm,
that one.
Maybe
thing
I'm. One maybe thing. I'm. Again, we're over indexing.
I
now
think the Wonderwall is pretty joyful.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, the fan culture. I really do like the fan culture, and he said he needs a good culture, good people. So that part checks the box. Yeah, we're debating on the joy.
I can't in good conscience tell someone not to root for their hometown team. Like, most of these were people who were midway through or like halfway between two locales. So you could assign him. Like,
DC.
Didn't he say he's back in DC?
DC. No, he was from DC from the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think he's...
He says his hometown team is Richmond. I guess that's far enough away. But if he was...
DC. He just gave DC
so
a try.
Here's the thing. He said he's a DC fan back in the old days, right?
Yeah.
Back at the start of the league. So he got to experience like the highest heights that any team in the league has experienced. And now he can't take a couple years of pain. I don't think this guy deserves joy.
Doyle already hates this person that he's never met.
Oh my gosh.
Go stick with DC for God's sake.
I would say, by the way, if Matt Turner was still in the league, Richmond Kickers connection, you could have gone New England Revolution. Yeah. But
and then you have the old Bruce. You have the return to Bruce. You have Carlos Heel. There's joy in that.
Yeah.
But there's not joy in the fact that they've never won MLS Cup. So that's less joyful.
Sure.
We have DC from Doyle. And I guess we'll take some suggestions from outside to help Mike find his team. Because, yeah, I'm struggling. Orlando, I think, could have some joy this year.
No. He's a DC United fan. He doesn't get to change it because they're bad.
Well, Mike, you're no longer adrift in the bay. Doyle has tethered. Doyle has chained you to the dock in the nation's capital.
Listen,
you're not allowed to leave.
Poor best wishes. Thanks for everything you do. And Doyle just torched this poor guy.
Let me give Anders his moment and say, last year we went to Seattle to root for MLS and CCL, and it was quite joyful and fun to root for Seattle for, you know, one day as a person who doesn't. So it can be a cool experience if you lean into it.
All right. Sounds like DC it is. And hey, maybe this year with Wayne and the boys and Christian Benteke, Golden Boot Challenger, according to Doyle.
Cherry Blossom shirt.
Yeah, there's a lot to like. And this attending games in person at the stadium with the club that you are supporting, nothing better than that. Week one is around the corner, Saturday and Sunday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern when it all starts. Of course, MLS Season Pass on Apple TV is your spot. It is free this weekend, so no excuse. Tune into the games, MLS 360 on Saturday night. MLS countdown and wrap up your pre- and post-game shows. And we will be back on Monday to break it all down. Adios, everybody. Enjoy the weekend. It's here.